You would please to Psalm chapter 2. And if you're visiting with us today, we welcome you here. I like to get around to greet everybody, but sometimes I don't get past the second row. We welcome you here if you're visiting. We've started a study of the book of Psalms just last week, and we are today in Psalm chapter 2. A psalm where God shows us the rebellion of man and how foolish it is to rebel against the God of the universe. Psalms chapter 2. And the writer says this: why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? Implied in the second verse again is, why do the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed? The Hebrew word for anointed is Messiah. The Greek word for anointed is Christ. People standing up against the Lord and his Christ, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Now here's God's response. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. And then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. And he will say, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Now that was the Lord's response. Next is the response of the Lord's anointed, or the Christ. Beginning in verse 7. This is the Christ's response. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Not a pretty picture. A picture of all who rebel against God being destroyed. And having seen that, the psalmist, verse 10, says, now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. I just want you to see two things, and then I want you to answer this question. First, I want you to see what the psalmist saw. I want you to see what the psalmist saw. What did he see? You need to see the same thing. And second, I want you to see what the psalmist did. What did he do in response to what he saw? And the question you can ponder the whole time is, why is God telling me? Why is God telling you? Why is God telling us what the psalmist saw and what he did? What did the psalmist see? Well, first, in a word, rebellion. Rebellion. He could see that people of every nation, and even people of his own nation, were rebelling against God. He could see that people in every level of society, from those who are lowly to the highest leaders in the land who ought to know better, he could see that they were taking a stand foolishly against God, against his Christ, and against the Word of God. Verse 1, why do the nations rage? He asks why because he's amazed that anyone would be so foolish as to do this. It's like saying, why is that pastor in the parking lot trying to lasso the tornado? What is he thinking? This is a vain thing. Why do the nations rage? The nations were people of other nations. Most likely this was written by David, though we don't know that for sure. And he pictures the nations of people around Israel in an uproar against God. Why do they rage like the waves of the sea that seem not content with their boundaries? They want to flood over their boundaries and do damage. Why do the nations rage? And why do the peoples plot a vain thing? The people are the people of Israel. Why do people of other nations rage? Why do the people in my nation rage? Why are they plotting a vain thing? See the word plotting? Why do they plot? Your Bible might have a different word, like devise. It is the exact same word used up in Psalm 1 verse 2 when it said the righteous man meditates day and night. See, the righteous meditate on the word of God. But the ungodly, they meditate on something altogether different. They meditate on how to get rid of God and how to get rid of the Bible and how to get rid of Christ and how to get rid of Christians and the church. And David could see this rebellion. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot a vain thing? Something that will never come to any good. Something that has no hope ever of succeeding. Why do they plot this vain thing? You think that anyone who plots against God could ever succeed? Job asked this question. Job chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Who has hardened himself against God and prospered? I want you to think about that question with me for a moment. Who has ever hardened their heart against God and prospered in that path? Did Cain, who killed his brother Abel? No. Did Pharaoh, who said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" Did he prosper? No, they made a song about him. Pharaoh and his army were drowned in the sea. All the Israelites would sing over and over again. How about Korah in Korah's rebellion? Number 16. Did they prosper? No, the earth opened up and swallowed them all. How about Achan in the battle against Ai, who took what was forbidden? Did he prosper by hardening his heart against God? No, all the Israelites stoned him with stones and burned him and his whole family with fire. How about Judas Iscariot? Did he prosper? No, he hung himself on a tree and his guts spilled out over the cliff. Every time God shows us someone rebelling against God, God also shows us in graphic terms the destruction that is their end. And you should be thinking, why is God telling me? Why is God telling me? Verse 2, why do the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, against his Christ? Why would the leaders do this? The leaders, the kings, the rulers, these are the great men in the land. These are the educated, the enlightened, those who ought to know better than to do something that has no hope of success. Why would they do this? Notice the nations and the people and the kings and the rulers are all united. This is the United Nations. And they're all united in getting rid of God. They're all united in having their one world thing and getting God off of the throne. They all join forces in their arrogance against God. But the Bible says that everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to God. And even though they join forces, Proverbs 16:5 says, not one of them will ever go unpunished. So why try? Why try to stand and stop a tornado with a rope? Why would you try to catch lightning with a metal rod? Apparently, they think they can succeed. But can they? They're setting themselves against the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, the creator and sovereign of all the universe, and against his anointed, his Messiah, his Christ. And that is his king. This is what the psalmist could see. Then he moves us a little closer, and here's what he could hear. He could hear what they were saying. Let's break their bonds in pieces and let's cast away their cords from us. What do you think are the bonds and the cords? What is that? The law of God. It's exactly right. It's the word of God. It's God's commandments. We know that because the same imagery is used by the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 5. Don't turn there because I don't want to take the time to have you turn there. But here's what God told him. Run to and fro throughout the streets of Jerusalem, Jeremiah. See now and know, and seek in her open places, see if you can find a man. Is there anyone in the land who is executing judgment and seeking the truth? Things were so bad in Israel that God said to the prophet Jeremiah, why don't you go and see if you can find one person who is really seeking the truth? Well, Jeremiah went, and he ran throughout the streets, and guess what he found? On the streets of Jerusalem, there was no one seeking the truth, and he said, Oh Lord, are not your eyes on the truth? You've stricken these people and they haven't grieved. You've consumed them and yet they are refusing to receive your correction. Imagine running throughout this nation of America and finding that nobody's turning to God and yet everyone is suffering his wrath. That's what you'd see if you went throughout the streets of America today, beloved. A nation under the wrath of God where people are suffering the consequences of their choices. People on drugs and people down and out with every kind of disease. And in many cases, they are eating the fruit of their ways. So Jeremiah thought, well, surely, Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 4, surely these are the poor and the foolish, the people down on the streets. I know. I'll go to the rulers of the land, the smart ones, the wise ones. I'll go to them, the great men. Surely they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. Surely they're not doing the same thing. And he says, but these two have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. What? They've thrown God's law behind their backs. Have you ever heard of a nation that had the word of God in all their schools and public places and then was so foolish as to try to throw it out? Could you imagine a nation so ungodly? That's what David could see. An ungodly nation. And he says, why are you doing this? So in a word, he saw rebellion, and then in a word, he saw wrath. He could see the wrath of God coming. Notice verse 4. He who sits in the heavens laughs. Notice God sits. Does God look afraid? Does God look like he's up in heaven pacing and biting his nails? Oh no, they're down on earth. They're rebelling against me. They're wanting to throw away my word. Oh no. Does God look anxious, worried, fretting away? No. He sits on his throne, he looks down, and he laughs. You know, I think of me and two other very small guys walking to the three largest men you can find on the planet and saying, we're going to take you guys down. And the three of them look down and, what are you, crazy? The Bible says that Leviathan, in the book of Job, Leviathan, apparently some great monster, some say a dinosaur, laughs, and it's the same word as here in Psalm 2, he laughs at human weapons. You know, the spears just bounce off, and he says, is that all you got? God looks down on rebellion, and at first he mocks, and he just laughs. But then, it says, verse 4, the Lord will hold them in derision, then he shall speak to them in his wrath. When? Will he do that? We're not told. But here's the key. Not yet. His wrath hasn't been poured out yet. But David, or the psalmist, can see it coming. The time is coming. The day is coming. He will speak to them in his wrath and distress them or terrify them in his deep displeasure. And he will say, literally, as for me, you know, you fools rebel against me, but as for me, I've already set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I've already established who is going to rule, who is going to reign. Nothing you do will change the fact that my king will rule. That's what the Lord is saying. And then his king, his Messiah, his Christ speaks. And notice what Christ says. I will declare the decree, the unchangeable declaration of Almighty God. The Lord, Yahweh, has said to me, who's speaking? The Lord's anointed. The Lord's Christ. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Based on Paul's words in Acts 13, the day that he was begotten was the day of his resurrection. But if you look in other places, it seems like maybe it was the day of his birth. If you look here, this is before Christ's birth or resurrection, and he's declaring the decree. The decree was made in eternity past. That Christ would be the Son of God, and he would reign, and he would be set up on God's holy hill of Zion, and he would rule. So the Christ is speaking, I will declare the decree, the unchangeable, immutable declaration of God. The Lord, the sovereign one, has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Notice verse 8. Ask. Ask. Ask of me, and I will give you, implied, the moment you ask, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Do you think it would be difficult for Christ to dash to pieces all the rebels of the world? Not difficult at all. What is the one thing, the only thing, that is keeping him from doing it now? First word, verse 8. Ask. Yahweh said to Christ, just ask, and you just say the word. And the moment Christ says the word, the Father is going to give to his anointed king, Christ, all the nations and all the ends of the earth, all the people, for his possession. And all those who are found in rebellion against the Lord and his Christ and his word, Christ will destroy. Hebrews 1 says, Christ is right now upholding all things by the word of his power. And here, the one thing Christ is upholding by the word of his power is he's holding back the wrath of God that is due to everyone who rebels against him. That's what the psalmist could see. The rebellion of humanity against Almighty God and his word. So what did he do about it? He called them all to repentance. He knew it was coming. He could see they were rebelling, and he knew the wrath of God was coming. And understanding that God in his grace was extending a time of mercy, knowing that these people had a chance to take refuge in the Son, he says, now, therefore, notice, now, not tomorrow, not 10 minutes from now, now. Therefore, based on what you've just heard and seen, that the wrath of God is coming at any moment upon all who rebel against God, now therefore, O kings, be instructed, be wise. Don't keep being foolish. This is crazy, your rebellion against God. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Don't reject what I'm telling you. Accept instruction. Serve the Lord with fear. Quit not serving the Lord. Cease. You're not serving him. You hear that? You're not serving the Lord. Stop not serving the Lord. You rebel, you. That's what he's saying. And he's probably shouting it out. Because they haven't heard him to this point, and they're all raging. They're in an uproar. So that he will be heard, that they might repent of their not serving the Lord. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Oh, the Lord wants you to be joyful. There's no joy in rebelling against God. There's no happiness in trying to throw off his word. There's no joy in not serving him. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. I like that picture. In those days, the way you showed your humble submission to the conquering king is you would kiss. He's saying, submit now to the sovereign Son. Kiss him now. And why now? Well, he's already angry with you because you haven't been serving him and submitting to him. He's already angry at you now. Up to this moment, you've been rebelling against him. You've already provoked him by your life. And now that I've called you to repent and serve him, if you harden your heart now, you provoke him further. So kiss him now, unless he become a little more angry. That's the idea here. Lest he become more angry and you perish on your way out the door. Well, he doesn't say on your way out the door, but that's the idea. Lest you provoke him further to anger by not repenting now and you perish on your way out. When his wrath is kindled but a little bit more. That's what he's saying. And then he proclaims the good news. Blessed are all who put their trust in him. There's another translation which is more accurate. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Listen, if there's a tornado bearing down on the building You'd be a fool to go out and try to rope it and stand against it. You'd be so much wiser to find a safe hiding place from the tornado where you're sure it could never touch you. I have news for you. There is one safe place where you can take refuge from the wrath of God, which is coming upon all the sons of rebellion. One place, and it's in Jesus Christ, the Lord's anointed. There is no other escape. There is no other way for you to be saved. That's what David saw, and that's what he did. Why is he telling you? Do you think God wants any rebel to be shattered to pieces like a potter's vessel? No. The Lord says, I take no delight in the destruction of the wicked. So there's only one of two possibilities here today based on last week's Psalm 1. Either today you are on the path of the godly, the righteous, the blessed. You know the Lord. You've taken refuge in Him. You meditate on His Word day and night. You are serving Him with fear. You rejoice in the Lord, yet with trembling, because you know who He is. You have taken refuge in the Lord. You are on the path of the godly. You are headed for blessing, eternal blessing. Why would God tell you? So that you might do what David did, what the psalmist did. You know people who are rebelling against God. They're in your families. They're at your workplace. They're in your school. They're in your neighborhood. You know people who are standing against God like a fool in the parking lot against a tornado, thinking that they can succeed. You've got to tell them the truth. Where are the bold men of God? Where are the bold women of God who will risk everything and stand up and say, listen, your rebellion is a vain thing. Oh, why do you do this? The wrath of God's laughing at you. The wrath of God is coming upon you. Be wise, be instructed, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Take refuge in the Son now, kiss Him now, submit to Him now, and you'll be saved and blessed. Where are the bold men and women who will do what David did? That's why he's telling you if you're a Christian. And if you're not, oh, be wise. Don't be a fool today. Take refuge in Jesus Christ. He will save you. He will protect you. You will be delivered today from the wrath of God. You will be delivered into the kingdom of light. You will have new hope. You will have His Holy Spirit. He will help you every step of the way, and He will give you boldness to go tell everyone you know who's rebelling against God this glorious truth, that blessed is everyone who puts their trust in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your mercy, Your love, Your patience, Your long-suffering with sinners. Help us to count the long-suffering of the Lord as an opportunity for the salvation of those around us. And God, grant us boldness to proclaim the truth. Lord, I pray if there's anyone here today who truly has not taken refuge in Jesus Christ, please, Father, don't let them leave here without Your Son. Give them a heart to submit to Jesus Christ today. We ask it in His name. Amen.